All right. Good evening. Oh, now y'all can hear me. Okay, great, great, great. Listen, I'm excited to be with you guys today. I will tell you, I don't feel 100%, but I believe that God can work through me even when I'm sick. Amen? So I just want to share a little bit with you guys about our ministry that we have here in the community. And my prayer is that, one, you'll just know a little bit more about it in case you want to pray for it. Maybe God will confirm for some of y'all who've known about it or heard some things on Sunday, kind of made you a little curious, interested, and maybe you'll hear something tonight that will confirm, maybe I want to get involved. So those are the two hopes for tonight. I just really want to take some time and share with you from my heart about the work that I feel like God called me all the way from Dallas to Tyler to do. So that's what tonight is going to be about. Can I pray for our time together? Okay, Father, we love you, we trust you, and we thank you so much for this time we have together. Guide us, give us your wisdom. We want to be in the dead center of your will. We love you, Lord, we trust you, in Jesus' name, amen. For those of you guys that have manuals, we'll be starting on page 9. We're starting on page 9. For those of you guys that do not, you'll just be starting, what were we watching? Okay, so this is a Prezi. Kind of presentation, something new. We kind of started to kind of not allow you to be bored as you listen to people. So just kind of follow along. Okay, let's see if this is working. All right, so I'm not going to do all this tonight because I don't have a lot of time, but basically I want to tell you about our mission and our philosophy tonight, and hopefully I'll get to why what God has called us to do, all of us to do. I won't take a break for the sake of time, so if you need to go out for whatever reason, that's cool. But I'm just trying to give you some things that you probably need to know about our ministry real quick. So first of all, Gospel Village is a part of what they call the Mentoring Alliance. The Mentoring Alliance is an umbrella organization for us. We are one ministry with three different programs and one mission. We have three different programs. You guys have probably heard about the Boys and Girls Club of East Texas. How many of you guys have kids that go to the Boys and Girls Club? Okay, great. 1, 2, 3. Okay, awesome. Well, the Boys and Girls Club here is different than probably what you think about Boys and Girls Club. Some people think about Boys and Girls Club, it's like chaos, kickball, and cookies. At least I used to think that when I first got here. Well, this Boys and Girls Club is much different. First of all, it's the only Christ-centered Boys and Girls Club in all of America. So we preach Jesus through the Boys and Girls Club. Second of all, kids from 3 to 6 have structured programming, homework help. In schools that are low economic status, they get meals. It's a great thing. We just celebrate the fact that God allowed us to be in 17 different schools, and we serve over 1,000 students a day through the Boys and Girls Club. So praise the Lord for what he's doing. We hope that those same kids that come to us from 3 to 6 come to us in the summer. We got a crazy partnership with TISD and Pine Cove. A lot of Pine Cove guys in here. Well, we are able to kind of allow kids to come to us and stop some of the learning regression over the summer. And so what we do from 3 to 6, we expand it to 7 in the morning to 6 in the afternoon, 5:30 in the afternoon, where kids can get a chance to learn about Jesus and also learn about education, have fun while they're doing it. So it's a great deal. And then our last program, which is one you came to hear about, is Gospel Village. And Gospel Village is our one-on-one mentoring program. We ask caring Christian adults like yourself to walk with a kid from the third grade all the way to the 12th grade. The idea is that we would create an overlap where kids can have somebody in their life all year long besides their parents. Dr. Chap Clark, who's a professor out in Southern California, says that kids today are so bombarded with negative energy, negative influences, that they need at least 5 positive doses in their life to make it. So we try to create 3. We hope they can have a teacher that they can kind of work with them as well as a parent, and we're trying to help in that. So that's what we're doing. So one ministry, the Mentoring Alliance, kind of like Brookshire's Grocery Company. You have Fresh, you have Brookshire's, and then you have Super One. Super One is all about the deal. You walk through there like, man, everything's on sale. Yes. You know, you go to Brooks, she's like, man, I love the customer service. They walk out stuff. They walk out the little grocery for me, and then they put them in my car. Great. I don't have to tip them. Wonderful. Even though I want to, sometimes they won't take the money. And then you go to Fresh for the experience. Man, look at the patio. It's great. So just like that, we have one umbrella organization with three different programs. Y'all still with me? Okay, so our ministry is trying to achieve something with the young people that we work with. We have five different priority outcomes. The first thing that we want to do, if we don't do anything else, we want to make sure they know about Jesus. Amen? So if we don't teach them about Jesus, we miss it. So our prayer is that kids will come out of our programming with a strong faith. And that'll be evidenced by them having godly character. The other thing we hope is that they will get a quality education. So we say academic success. Now we chose this one because if you look at any list of poverty, the top five will be fatherlessness and lack of education. I'm sure Rod knows, being the headmaster of a school, education gives choices. Okay? So we're all about our kids getting a quality education, however God has wired them. So we don't think that every kid should go to college or will go to college, but we do believe that every kid is made in the image of God and can do something great for God. And so God has wired them in such a way, we just want to kind of help them discover their gifts. We want to help them discover their gifts. My goodness, I'm fighting with this mic. Develop them and display them for his glory, however God has wired them. We also want to help kids have emotional resilience. Emotional resilience is a fancy word for grit. In other words, kids will face challenges. We want to teach them to be able to set a goal and make it through their goal. And then finally, life readiness. You know, the idea of chivalry, the idea of yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, pulling your pants up, shaking a man's hand and looking him in the eye, how to tie a tie. You know, that stuff, it takes some work to do. And some of our kids don't have anybody to teach them. So we want to make sure our kids are ready for life. The other thing is we have some values that really are the heartbeat of how we do things. So first of all, we are Christ-centered ministry. And so we point people to Jesus. We also are biblically grounded. We don't just make up stuff. We want the word to guide how we do things. We also are grace-based. We give grace because we've been given grace and we know we're going to need grace. Amen? Amen. We also are excellent driven. So sometimes we don't get it right, but we strive to get it right. And when we don't, we'll go back and do it again. And then finally, we believe in being a multi-ethnic organization. So we pursue oneness through diversity. So you'll see that in our staff, you'll see that in our volunteers, you'll see that in the churches that partner with us and our donors. We're really about being multi-ethnic because we want to represent the kingdom of God and the community of Tama. And then our mission. I want to slow down and talk about this a little bit. Gospel Village really exists to create mutually transforming relationships between godly people from local churches with students from select local area schools. Now, we chose this mission statement because some people have different views of mentoring. I remember when I first got here, somebody said, Gospel Village, this is the program where y'all mess with those little kids and somebody can come down and kind of show them how to do stuff. And they actually said it much worse than that, much more offensive than that. And I said, no. Our hope is what we call a mutually transforming relationship where two people who probably would never come in contact with each other be in relationship with each other and their families, and both of them become more of who God wants them to be as he shapes and molds and carves them in who he wants them to be as they're in relationship with one another. We boldly say that if you're trying to grow in your relationship with God, you need a relationship like this so you can be stretched, so you can be challenged. So we believe in doing that with godly people. We want to mobilize the church. We want to get people out of the pews of the seat of a church and into the lives of kids and families across our city. We believe in really helping the church be the salt and light in the community it should be. We also want to give people a tangible way to fulfill the Great Commission. And we do it with students from local schools. We used to center our program around schools that fit into the John Tyler feeder pattern. And what we wanted to do was really look out for students and families that we know wouldn't have, who we knew really needed help, so to speak. What we found is, though, that there are students across this city that need help. not just at Orr and Dixie. I mean, there's kids at Jack that need help. There's kids at Owens that need help. And so this year we're expanding the program from just the John Tyler feeder pattern to the place where any kid in TISD can get a mentor, and anybody that wants to mentor can mentor any kid in TISD. Gospel Village has three different programs within it. Our flagship program is mentoring. Well, like I said, where we get godly people to walk with kids from the third grade all the way to the 12th grade. We also have some people that say, you know what? Hey, maybe I'm not ready to mentor, but I do want to be involved. And so maybe I can help in the classroom, or maybe I can read a book to a kid. A little bit less of a commitment level. So we have mentoring that works with kids, and then we have the Village Friends program that works with teachers and staff and do one-time events and different things like that. So if you want to be a part of working at a school and not necessarily mentoring, you can do Village Friends. And then we really believe in trying to stay in our lane. God has called us to mentor kids. And so we don't want to be like a Walmart, nor can we. So what we do is we partner with other organizations to provide resources that our families need so they can have what they need. So we partner with Grace Community Counseling. Grace Community Counseling does counseling for some of our students who may have been raped or abused or mistreated or neglected. We partner with Methodist Children Homes. We partner with Bethesda. We partner with a lot of different organizations in the community so our parents and our families can have a continuum of care. We can keep being the mentor organization. They can continue to get the services they need. So that's what we call Gospel Village Resources. It's more partnering with other organizations to help our families with their needs. Now, again, man, I forgot about this. We have just changed to doing more than just a John Tyler feeder pattern, so you can mentor any kid in TISD. So our strategic focus is all of TISD. What does it look like to be a mentor through Gospel Village? Well, our hope is that you will be face-to-face with a young person and their family every day until they die. But we know that's not possible. So we try to say, okay, get in on the deep end, on the short end of the pool. We say, look, what we would love for you to do is meet with a kid 2 times a month, 2 hours a month, face-to-face. And then the other 2 weeks or other 2 times, we want you to just call or text them or something like that to check on them. So very low commitment level. We're talking 2 hours a month. One of those times, we put together an event on a monthly basis for students and mentors to get together. We just rented out Burkeville Park, and we had a big festival last Saturday. Some of you guys were there. And it was just great for mentors and kids just to walk around. It was already planned for them. We've done stuff like manhood events where we've taught kids how to tie hot ties and shake hands. We've rented out movie theaters. So we do a lot of things for you where you can just show up and things are taken care of. The other thing we would say, though, is a lot of people hear this message about mentoring. You say, look, I got a lot of kids, and I just don't have time. I'm going to show you about a guy who don't have time and what he's doing. But let me just say, the idea is not that you would create another life for yourself. The idea of discipleship, when you really look at it, is you put your life on display, and you say, follow me as I follow Christ. So you don't create a whole nother life. You just take a kid and invite them with you wherever you're going. So some of our mentors take kids to church. Why? Because they're going to church. Some of our mentors take a kid to the grocery store. Why? What can you learn at the grocery store? All kinds of stuff. How to budget. How to eat nutritiously. You learn how they eat and why they eat the things that they eat. Just by taking them to the grocery store. And so there's just a lot of different things. And then if they are in sports or if they're in any kind of activities, you can do that with them. But you also can. I have one mentor. They're very consistent. They just go to the school and have lunch with the kid. Most of us make our own schedules. We have appointments with all kind of people all the time. You can put in your schedule every other week, every other Thursday, to meet with your kids for 30 minutes because that's all they have for lunch. It may be small to you, but it's big to them. So we ask you to do that for 1 year. We say less than 1 year, don't think about mentoring. But if you can do that for 1 year, what we find is most people that mentor for 1 year end up coming back. We said 95% of the people who mentor for 1 year come back for the next year. It's great. Village Friends, I can work with you guys if y'all want to adopt a school. I talked to Chris a little bit about that. Some of you guys live here in Tyler. Some of you guys live in Bullard. By the way, I just met with Bullard Elementary this morning. We're going to do Gospel Village in Bullard. We have a deal next week where we're going to go to White House. Boys and Girls Club is at Kane. We're going to think about doing Gospel Village at Kane Elementary. So we will, for those of you guys who live in some of the other suburban areas, you can mentor a kid even in White House and even in Bullard. The question is, who are you discipling? Steps to become a mentee. Some people ask, where do you get the kids from? Basically, what happens with our kids is they're identified by a teacher or a counselor. The counselor refers us to that student. We call their parents. We tell them about the program. We meet with them, and we pray with them. We try to find out a little bit about them, and we're doing the same thing with mentors, and then we match them. So basically, we refer kids through the school. Also, people can find us online. You can fill out the whole application if you want your kids to get a mentee online. And then also, we're starting to get referrals from older brothers and older sisters and stuff like that. So let me tell you a little bit about why you should mentor. I was reading this book. And by the way, if you want to buy one book this year to read, you need to read Father's Generation, okay? You need to read Father's Generation. Oh, there's another one too. Father's Generation really changed my whole idea. I have been doing mentoring for the last, for 10 years, and I came here and I've been doing it for 3 more years. But that book really shaped my idea, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. But this other book, The Power of Proximity, this just came out by Michelle Warren. You want to get this book because it talks about, I ain't going to tell you. You should. But let me tell you, this is one of the most incredible books. And I'm a book reader. I love to read books. This one right here will really help shape your theology. And it'll challenge your theology, excuse me, as you think about what it's like to, for those of you guys who are thinking about race relations, you're thinking about walking with the poor, you're thinking about different things like that. This will really help you. All right. It's called The Power of Proximity, Moving from Beyond Awareness to Action. I'm telling you, those are two books you really want to get. Some of you guys read books in a week, 2 weeks, months. Those are two books you really want to get. Very easy reads too, by the way. So when I was reading this book, something really stood out to me. It was like, look, 33% of all American youth go to bed every night without their real dad in the house. 33% of all American youth. That's 25 million kids go to bed every night without their daddy in the house. Unimaginable. Until I thought back to my life. When I was 12, my mom and dad didn't get a divorce. They split. She said, look, you go get yourself together. I'm going to get myself together. And if we get it together, we can get back together. But otherwise, you got to go somewhere. That's what she told him. My dad was, he was a salesman, and he was a Marine Corps vet, and had been to Vietnam. He had come back with Ancient Orange and Agent Orange, but he was still successful. He got hooked on cocaine, in a cocaine addiction, and it turned into a crack rock addiction, and my dad ended up going to jail for a little bit. And in that time, I'm a 12-year-old boy, and I'm trying to live life as a 12-year-old boy, going through puberty, trying to figure out girls. I'm angry, hurt, frustrated, lost without my dad being at home. And mom cannot answer the questions that I have. We have young men growing up like this today, and they are acting out in all kind of ways. Whether it be fighting or the abuse of women. Or maybe they choose a homosexual lifestyle. We have girls acting out. You see them on Facebook. Trying to do a whole lot through social media. You see them taking pictures of themselves. And they're dressing less. And they're cutting themselves. We are raising a generation of kids. We're experiencing a generation of kids that's being raised without their father, and we're seeing all kind of implications of that. But you say, that's nationwide. You know, we're in good old Tyler. We're not just in the Bible Belt. We're in the belt buckle. Everybody go to church. Everybody loves Jesus. And people who don't have their real father in the house, I know somebody's caring for them. Not necessarily. What we find out is when we look at TISD, and this is an old presentation, I got to update it. There's 16 out of 18 elementary schools, by the except for Jack and Owens,
are Title I, meaning that 40% of the kids that go to that school come from homes that are at or below the poverty level. That's right here in Tyler, Texas. That's not North Tyler. That's all of Tyler. Carlton, what are you talking about? I'm talking about 71% of the students that go to school in TISD come from homes that are at or below the poverty level. Let me contextualize this for you. There are 18,000 students in TISD. 71% of the 18,000 students in TISD come from homes that are at or below the poverty level. Remember what I said? Fatherlessness, lack of education is somewhere in there. 59% of those students are at risk. At risk, what does that mean? At risk of not graduating, at risk of not passing a grade, at risk of going to jail, at risk, at risk, at risk, you name it. This is a statistic that really got me. They said in all of Smith County, not just in TISD, only 20% of kids that graduate from high school, only 20% of all the kids in Smith County, only 20% of all the kids that graduate from high school in Smith County do something beyond high school. Folks, let me tell you something. We have a problem, and the problem is not going anywhere. What do you mean? People who live in poverty move less than 5 miles from where they lived originally. So we have an issue, and the issue is not going anywhere, and the only way it's going to be solved is if the church will step in and be the salt and the light that it's supposed to be. That if we learn to not look down on our neighbors, but do the opposite and love our neighbors, that's when we'll start to see stuff change. It's very easy for us to live on one side of town, and yes, we're doing right. You know, we have kids, we bathe them, we clean them, we take them to school, we work a good job, we love our wives, and it's very easy to drive into our yards, close our garages, eat a good meal, go to bed, and wake up the next day, and not even have an awareness of what's going on with our brothers and sisters who may be very well suffering and in need of help. We must be the salt and light that God has called us to be. So I'm going to show you one of these relationships and what they look like. This guy's a doctor here in town. And I don't know if I got it. Can you push that? Can y'all hear that?
About a year and a half ago, I was reading in Matthew. I came to the Great Commission. Instead of just blowing through it, I tried to read it, and I got to the part about make disciples. It just occurred to me, who exactly am I discipling? So I prayed about it, and the same week, three different people talked to me about Gospel Village. There's no way that's a random event. It was kind of like I can't say no. And so last fall, I went through the first mentor class and met London. London lives with his aunt, and he has a younger brother, and then he has a cousin who's his aunt's daughter. Three of them live together, but there's no direct relationship with a man. I'm hoping that I can fill a role, stand in the gap. At first, I thought I'd be his big language tutor or his reading tutor, and more than anything, I think we enjoy being with each other. I get to teach him simple things like pumping gas at the gas station, planting a tree, and those are events that are new for him and a joy. He's a joy to be around and getting to see life from his perspective.
He does come to my school a lot and come eat with me. He comes at lunch and brings me food to eat. At school, I really don't like the food that they cook.
London is growing a lot. He's recently been bringing a Bible down that belongs to Caldwell School. I'm not sure if that's okay or not, but that's what he brings down to read to me at lunchtime. I'm a pediatrician in Tyler, and I'm busy. I do some 60, 70, sometimes more hour weeks. This Gospel Village relationship has reminded me about what's important in life and how I should be spending my time.
If he wasn't here, I wouldn't have a mentor. So that's why I want him to be a friend of my life and be like part of my family.
I would have to go back and look at my Gospel Village materials? Because I can't remember when I signed up for this if they requested a minimum, but I've signed up for this basically long term. But I would love to be there as high school graduation and as college graduation. I hope I get to teach him to drive a car. I hope I get to be his wedding. And I think three different times, Len and I'll be driving home, and Len will say, "How long are you going to be my mentor?" And I'll say, "Well, if you have me, if you'll keep having me, I'm planning on staying your mentor. As long as God keeps me on the earth, I'm planning on being your mentor. And God willing, it'll stay that way."
How many of you guys know Dr. Rick Rogers? Okay, good guy. I had lunch with him today. He always likes to eat at Stanley's. Praise Jesus. That's good. The thing about Rick's relationship that really gets me is that he says, "Look, I work 60, 70 hours sometimes more. But this Gospel Village relationship has caused me to think about how I spend my time. We do what matters. We do what's important. Kingdom work is important." So let me teach you real quick a little bit about, if you want to have a relationship like this, what it's going to take. First of all, it's going to take the right mindset. It starts with the idea of understanding this, that all people are created in the image of God. And therefore, they have infinite value and worth. They matter to God, they ought to matter to us. Simple and plain as that. The second thing is, we must recognize that none of us are a savior. Because there's only one. And guess what? We all need him. Amen? Amen. All right, Baptist Church. So when we understand that, then it starts to put us in a position of realizing God's grace and mercy. Watch this. All that I have and am is because of God's grace and his provision in my life. So yes, some of us went to school. We saved our money. We inherited money. We did right with our money. But the reality is, we are who we are, and we have what we have by God's grace. And if it was not for his grace, where would you be? We are who we are because he allows it. We are who we are because he is good. We are who we are because that's his will for us, not because of anything that we've done. So then it puts us in a position of stewardship to say, with all of the time, talent, and treasure that God has given me, what in the world am I going to do with it to further his kingdom here on earth? So God has given us gifts that he desires for us to use to serve him and to serve others. How are we going to put together the things that he's given us and use them for his glory? How are we doing that? That's the philosophy. Then let me give you four P's. I'm a preacher, right? So I got these four P's. So the first thing is, I got to hurry up. Okay. So the first thing is, when you come into a relationship, you got to remember prayer. I know people say, "I pray all the time. That's just mundane. Go on with the next one, preacher." But if we take our theology and make it our orthopraxy, we realize that God says to pray about everything. Don't be anxious for anything, but to pray about everything. We also know that God says to pray without ceasing. So we should pray before we get in a relationship like this, during a relationship like this, and if it ends, pray after a relationship like this. The other thing, though, we need to have is patience. Why? Because solid relationships take time to develop. I had these mentors when I first got started with Gospel Village. It's about 3 months. They're like, "I'm quitting." I'm like, "What's going on? What's wrong?" You know, I'm thinking something really happened. "Man, nobody's saved. The mama's still smoking weed. I don't know what's going on. The kid ain't, I gave him a book on theology. He don't know it yet." I'm like, "Whoa, chill out." Through all of our mess and all of our struggle and all of our issue with all of theology and all of Bible we know, we still got junk. Amen. And God is patient with us. Why in the world can't we be patient with others? We have to be patient. We have to allow God to work. Working with young people is a thankless job. We may never, ever see the fruit of our labor. But guess what? He does. He sees it. The other thing is, though, we have to be persistent. In Luke chapter 15, you see three different illustrations of God showing us his heart for the lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Anytime something in the Bible is repeated, it's a point of emphasis. So time and time again, he talks about the lost. In fact, he makes a general statement. I came to seek and save that which was lost. So without a doubt, unquestionable, God's heart is for the lost. And so should ours. And then finally, persevere. In other words, we have to make it through the storm. Because you will have some storm working with kids. Because you know, some of y'all have kids. You know what that's like. But some of these families that we may come into contact with may have some things that we have to work through. And we have to persevere with them through it. So I always tell people, hold on to a kid's hand because you may be the only one holding it. Now let me give you the heartbeat of what it means to mentor. I'm going to end right here. When we talk about mentoring, when we talk about being involved in a young person's life, we mean three things. Love, model, coach. Love, model, coach. Love, model, coach. You want to know the job description. You want to know how to do it well. You need to learn to love, model, coach. Even with your own kids, love, model, coach. Love, model, coach. Love, model, coach. What does it mean to love? First of all, you just show up. You show up. Show up. Why is that important? Because these people have kids, these kids have people in their life that don't show up. They're in their life like revolving doors, full of broken promises. And you get to come along and say, you know what, buddy, I'm about you. Me and my family, we're going to be about you. I'm going to show up. However regular it is, every other Thursday, I'm going to come and have lunch for you. Once a month, I'm going to pick you up. Whatever that is, you get the chance to say, you know what, I'm going to do this with you. At a time when they have so many people not doing it with them. The second thing is you give. Now, a lot of people, when they start saying, I knew you were going to ask for some money. No. It has nothing to do with the relationship. I'm talking back to what I was saying earlier. What are you doing with your time and your talent? So, it's a demonstration. Give of yourself. Where do you get that from? John 3:16. For God so loved this whole entire world that he gave. It was an action. His only son. He gave up who he was. His son. What are we willing to give up to show love for somebody else? We ask that you give a listening ear. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. We ask that you give of your time. Like I said, an hour every other week can make the difference in a kid's life. That's the bare minimum. The other thing we need to do once we start loving, so you love a kid where they are, and then you live a life in front of them that's worthy of following. Over time, you begin to earn their respect and the right to be heard, and then you can coach them from where they are to where God wants them to be. So we talk about modeling. We talk about modeling in two things. Some of you Pine Cove guys will love this. This is Austin Birch's mentee. Austin Birch is a camp director here. Now he's in Columbus, Texas. This is mentee. So the picture is showing how Austin, oh, they went here. Oh, my God, I forgot about that. Laura Kate. So one day, Laura Kate goes to pick the boys up to a Gospel Village event. Austin had to work. I don't know. Reed told him to go do something. And he had to go to work. But she picked both boys up. And it was crazy because they run out to the car. She's like, oh, my God, where y'all going? They ran to the car to open the door for her. Why? Because Austin used to always open the door for her. So they were kind of interact, showing what he had modeled. modeling, what we model in front of kids matters. So we should live a life in front of kids that say, follow me as I follow Christ. So we model, first of all, integrity. Integrity is when our words and our actions match, and then we model sincerity. In other words, we're not perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to cling to the one who is. Okay? And then finally, we coach. We need to learn how to coach with grace and truth. Some of us are so gracious that we forget to be truthful, and some of us are so truthful that we don't have no grace. But Jesus was full of grace and truth. The other thing is, you know, you're talking about, what do I teach a kid, what I show a kid? God will give you teachable moments. My kid didn't say thank you one time, and I had to tell him, like, what do you do when somebody does something you appreciate? You say thank you. And he says thank you for now. I say, man, we open the door for ladies. He opens the doors for now. We say please and thank you. You know, just use teachable moments. And then finally, I heard kids living in the inner city, some of them received 9 put downs for every put up. 9 put downs for every put up. I was like, wow, that is crazy. So what we want you to do is we want you to lift kids up by identifying and calling out the gifts and talents that God has given them as you see them. So the job description of a mentor is to love a kid where they are, and then model a lifestyle in front of them that's worthy of following long enough to where you earn the right to be heard, then you can coach them from where they are to where God wants them to be. Now, here's the deal. There's a lot more I can tell you, and we'll get to that as you guys kind of get involved. But here's the deal. Jesus called us all to make disciples. Simple and plain as that, okay? He mandated that every follower of Jesus Christ make disciples. He modeled a lifestyle of what that looks like. So Gospel Village seeks to be an outlet for you to be able to do that, okay? Some of you are already discipling people, great. Some of you have nobody discipling you, you're not discipling anybody. This could be an avenue for you to do that. Our prayer is that through these mutually transforming relationships, that God will change you as he uses you to change others. What do you do? Well, you already did step one. Come to an orientation like this. So you're already in the process, so you can't bag out. No, I'm just kidding. But the first thing is you come to an orientation like this. And there's a little bit more that I would give y'all, but for the sake of time, I won't. The second thing is you go to gospelvillage.com. Some of you guys fill out a contact information form. I sent you an email with that link in there. But if you go to gospelvillage.com, there's an application on there. You fill that out. Then what happens is we'll contact you. And then we'll fill out then you go do some background checks and some reference checks, your blood type, your bank account number. We need all that. But we're going to do some background on you. Anytime you work with kids, they do extensive background checks. We believe in protecting our kids. Then after that, we'll sit down with you. We'll ask you any questions, talk with you through some things, kind of orientate you a little bit more. And then after that, we match you with a kid. And then the relationship is not where you're just out on the island on your own. We have a mentor coordinator, a full-time person who will shepherd you and walk with you as you shepherd and walk with a young person. We have ongoing trainings. I got a training tomorrow night for anybody that wants to come. They're at the Boys and Girls Club. We're going to talk about what it means to establish a firm relationship with a kid. We're going to talk about navigating transitions with high school and junior high students. And then we're going to talk about keys or nuggets to work with the family well. So we do stuff like that all the time. Next semester, I'm going to talk about working with kids that come from challenging circumstances. We always do stuff like that. Last but not least, I want you to see this guy, his relationship with his mentee, and then we're done. Y'all can ask questions. Uh-oh, can you go back to that?
Mentoring started for me probably 10 years ago, and there's an apartment complex up the street called Pine Creek. And I'd been driving past it for about 12 years up to that point. We started mentoring through identifying a group of people here, and we started going into Pine Creek a couple days a week. If we didn't get involved with some of these kids when they were younger, by the time they hit sixth grade, they were going to be in real trouble. And then the church fully implemented and rolled out the Gospel Village ministry, and that's where I first met my little friend, Jerron Wise,
My name is Jerron Wise, but some people call me Skinny Bones Jones because, you know, I'm skinny. I think I was 10 years old when I met Matt. When we hang out, we really just have fun, talk about Christ and how, you know, he made an impact in our life.
My personal philosophy is I try to do the same thing I did with my daughters. It's just that if I'm going to do something and I can grab him and take him with me, just so we can have that time together. He loves to read, and so I actually try to incentivize him economically with a little reward for when he gets through with the book.
I was doing good in school. I got it all, like, you know, A, B's, and C's. But when Matt gave me a goal, I was like, okay, maybe this 1 year I'll work up to that goal. And I started getting all A's and B's, and then I started reading a lot. I was like, oh, okay, I like reading now.
And I just let him know that I care about his grades. And if he gets all A's and B's, then that's a Brahms Sunday. From a spiritual perspective, the relationship that Jerron and I have developed over the last 6 years, I have really tried to help plug him in to the youth here at the church, which he really loves. So there's a natural spiritual emphasis because he enjoys being around the church. And then he and I spend time that we'll talk specifically about the scriptures that he's reading. But we do try to make it very intentional.
Well, he really opened my eyes. I usually thought, like, okay, I knew Christ. I didn't have, all I had to do was just obey his rules and I'll be okay. But really, I was running away from hell, but not, I was really supposed to pursue God.
I look at it as, you know, it's a discipling relationship. I have a responsibility not just to buy him ice cream or hang out or fish or whatever we end up doing. I do want to make sure that he is growing spiritually. We had the privilege of watching him this last year get baptized just because he wanted to make a public profession of his faith. And so seeing his spiritual growth, you know, I really look at him as kind of one of my spiritual kids.
Well, yeah, it's really awesome having someone that wants to just invest their time in just me. It's like, makes me feel like a movie star because, like, he, like, makes me feel like I'm, like, on top of the world. Like, I can do anything I want. All I gotta do is put my mind, my heart to it.
The way I view this relationship between me and Jerron, it's all based on mutual transformation. You know, we go into it thinking we're going to just save these kids or do something great for these kids or we're going to be such a blessing for them. And the way that Jerron blesses me is way bigger than anything I'm investing in him. The thing with mentoring is it's about relationships and stability. Where I see this going is my intention is life on life for life with this young man, and it's not a burden. It's not frightening to think about it. It's not an overcommitment of time. I mean, I fully plan on being there, Lord willing, when he gets married. We just have a great hope for his future, and I just pray that I'll be a part of it till the Lord takes me home. But I love the little guy, and he's stuck with me.
I love that. That's awesome. So I'm going to let you guys go after this. Hey, can you pull up gospelvillage.com? Do you mind doing that? Okay. So here's the deal. Y'all have sat through a whole presentation. I really appreciate it. I will tell you that there are people all over this city doing this, okay? And I can't make you do this, but I just want to present the opportunity to say that there are young people at Texas College and TJC and UT Tyler doing it. There's retired people doing it. There's couples doing it. There's kids. There's a couple of couples with 4 and 5 kids doing it. I do it, and I have 6 kids. And it's tremendous what we're seeing happen. We're seeing people who live in South Tyler coming in contact with people from North Tyler and going from being unaware of the plight that they face to becoming fully aware, to becoming advocates for them. We're seeing people start to have real relationships with one another where kids are growing up seeing life differently. We know that we have challenges here in Tyler where we're separate and we have unintentionally even sometimes a racial divide. Here's a way for some of that to be changed. That maybe a husband and a wife can get together with a single mom and he can help mentor her son. And then she can be a sister to her in Christ. And your kids and their kids can grow up in fellowship with one another. and see something different because you led them that way. We're seeing all kinds of stuff. So here's the deal. Some of you have already filled out interest form. You already got an email from me about 20 of y'all. Praise the Lord. If some of you guys are interested in kind of pursuing more of a relationship, you can go to our website. Right there it says become a mentor. You click on that. It'll take you to the application. Also, I would love, 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 if you have any inclination that you even want to talk more about it, that you would come up here and fill out a card. I can give you one. I got pens. I can write it myself if I have to. But here's what I will tell you. Men in this room, man, I got 28 boys right now waiting for somebody to walk with them. And we got all kind of things that we're doing. I know it. I get it. I, too, work about 60 hours sometimes. And I'm trying to cut down. I got 4 boys of my own. So I know what it's like to be tired and to give your time at work and to have to go home and work a second shift. I know. But God can use you in the life of somebody else. Don't miss the opportunity. Ladies, right around the corner from us, where the Boys and Girls Club building is, was a motel. They found sex trafficking going on. On the north side of town. It's here. Some of these young ladies trying to make a fast buck don't have a vision for what a godly woman can be like. You can be that for some young lady. You can walk along somebody's mom and be a sister to them in Christ. God can use you as well. Oh, and I have ladies waiting as well. So I want to pray for you. I don't want to put a guilt trip on you. That's not what I do. My prayer is that you will see that this is an avenue for you to maybe fulfill the Great Commission and come and do it. And if that's not your deal, you got something else going, great. But pray for us. The biggest thing that we need is prayer. So if you commit to praying for us, I would appreciate it. If you want to join the movement, that'd be great. We got churches all over the city doing this. This could be another one. And then also, you know, like I said, you can do it anywhere in the city. But I would really challenge you to do it across town so you get a chance to be stretched. But if not, do it conveniently. Do it at Jack. Do it at Owens. Do it somewhere. Any questions before I let y'all go? Now my bunions hurt. I've been working all day. I'll be glad when you get finished. Well, come and talk to me afterwards. Okay, cool. Thank y'all so much for listening. Was it worth you coming?
Yes.
Okay, Chris, you want to close us? Okay.